This is Brock and Saul.
Brock Heward and Marcus. Sorry about just Mike.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Heward, not exactly Joe Cap there in the pocket.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Saul.
Let's go this morning with the Brock and Salk Show, Seattle Sports on 710CLSports.com and the Seattle Sports app and all the podcast platforms. I saw somebody was struggling with our podcast, Justin. I gotta send you out there. Somebody was struggling. He said it stopped downloading. I don't know what's happening. His Apple stopped downloading. All right. Somebody else said, well, just get it on Spotify. I said, but I use Apple. So I don't know what's going on there. So I hope you can help out.
Yeah.
Please jump onto Twitter immediately and solve this problem.
I'm on it now.
We do have some nice reviews. You want a review or two to start the day?
And then
I'll tell you about an issue I'm having in my life that I'm really struggling with.
Oh, no, thank you. Just the reviews, please.
Okay. The review is from, let's say, I got three. Laura. Did I read the Laura one? Spring training. I love the show, but spring training week is always my favorite. For Morris, finger reach and trying to keep you crazy dudes in line. Justin knowing all the dive bars and random adventures. Brock's body show and Salk just being giddy. But for real, your dynamic is awesome. I laugh all the time, but also appreciate how you all challenge each other. I appreciate that you ask tough questions, but still laugh easily. Awesome interviews throughout the year from the KJ Wright Show. G. Scott to the interviews that rotate throughout the different seasons. Thanks for making my mornings fun, Laura. All right, Laura Upton, what's up? Appreciate
thank
that.
You, Laura. I did send an email yesterday to somebody who's going down to Arizona and included like 19 different taverns. I was like, these are good spots just in case.
just in case
you peel away from your kids. Here's your...
Just in case you need 35 different dive bars to
did
go.
Did you include that horrible one we went to the
Chantilly's?
First time? Chantilly's?
Yeah, it's not horrible. Like your tongue. Mall. It's not terrible.
Quick side, 74, Brock and Salk podcast, big part of my day and has been since the early days of the show. Salk is by far the best sports radio host in Washington State. Oh my Lord.
In the state?
Wow. That's going to catch me right here. He's funny, aggravating, opinionated, human, and emotional in a good way. I've shed a few tears listening in poignant moments over the years. Yes, I'm a post-middle-aged man. Oh, okay, now I get it. Brock is knowledgeable, quirky, connected, and provides insightful analysis. He also does a good job of bringing in interesting guests. Maura and Justin are fantastic. Thank you for enriching my sports fandom in the state of Washington. That's from Quickside 74. What's up, Quickside? And Bob Blah Blah says, Salk Air Day. Salk continues to inspire me every day. An inspirational morning here on the Brock and Salk Show. I'm glad to hear it.
Is this like the one last time where you only told us the good part and then later we found out there was more?
No, that's literally all it says. It's just an inspirational one. Thanks, Bob Blah Blah. Those are really nice. And it sounds like you guys kind of love me, which is great. And I feel very, very touched this morning. You don't love me as much as my dentist, who won't leave me alone. I need to break up with my dentist.
Oh, is this your personal problem?
Maura, yes. I need to break up with my dentist.
I have to tell you a little behind the scenes. Yesterday, during the, I think it was the Gus Johnson interview, I was trying to do something, and then I hear it cuts out the sound in my ears.
When you talk to me down
the line going, my dentist is texting me
again,
right now.
Again, they're obsessed with me.
Just don't look at your phone. Pay attention to the interview.
I assume that maybe it's something important. Breaking news. You know, one of my many important contacts contacting me in the middle of the show.
Especially this time of the year.
Something's happened to my wife or my kids or my parents.
I was thinking it's breaking free agency news.
Any of those things. Yeah, I mean, both of those. Yeah, I was adding to that idea. I mean, it could be anything. You got to check your phone when somebody texts. What if it's important? But no, it's just my dentist yesterday because I did have a dental appointment. Like, oh, when are we going to see you? Are you going to be here at 10:30? Please confirm. Oh, you didn't confirm yet. Please say hi. Please bring us flowers. Why haven't you brought us a gift? Are you going to be needing dinner tonight? Where would you like to meet on Saturday for dinner? And I'm like, dentist, leave me alone. So I go to the dentist yesterday, and here's the problem. My dentist is fantastic. They do a great job. The hygienists are always awesome. The dentist comes in. She's kind of like a Trader Joe's employee. She's super happy whenever you see her. She's just like, hi, how are your teeth? And I'm like, they're fine. Are you doing anything fun this summer? And I'm like, no, because I don't really want to talk too much because I'm afraid that the dentist is going to call me and like ask me about my trip or something. So anyway, I have a great dental appointment yesterday. I leave. And you know what I get? More texts from the dentist asking me to review how they were. Please stop texting me so much. I think they're in love with me, and I don't really know what to do with it. So maybe
why are you so obsessed with me?
Exactly. Maybe the dentist is the one sending all these nice reviews, because it seems like they've kind of gone
that's
crazy
what you should
for
say.
Me.
I'll do it in exchange for you telling everyone to help us get to a 4.7 star.
Well, if they were to use this same system, my gosh, I feel like we'd be there immediately spreading. This is like the best marketing plan of all time.
Have you switched dentists since you first started complaining about
this
too? No,
I was gonna with some challenges with the insurance, but they turned out to be not that different, so... Anyway, good text, 425, wondering if G. Scott is my dentist. No, but both are equally needy. Yeah, they're both very, very needy, so appreciate that this morning.
I actually scared G. out of here yesterday.
That was smart.
I asked him if he had seen the Araldis Chapman video.
Jeez.
And Justin showed it to him.
Do not bring that up again.
Yeah, more. What's going on?
We're not going to talk about the video.
You're obsessed with it.
It's like saying candy.
G left the room and never came back. That never happens.
More obsessed.
He usually hangs out with us for like an hour.
My dentist with me or Maura with the Araldis Chapman video. I would say pretty equivalent.
It's shocking.
Pretty equivalent. Oh, was that the most shocking thing yesterday? Because I'm going to argue it's not. I know we're going to hit on this a little bit later as we go around the NFL at 9 o'clock. Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else.
No. Come on, Aaron Rodgers. So I have been
Does
in the...
Does it really shock you that much, though, after everything we've learned about him?
Yes. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the
this
worst.
Is a bridge too far.
Yeah,
if it's,
it really does. Yeah, it does. The, you know, I've done my own research stuff is one thing. All of the... I mean, for the most part, all of the Aaron Rodgers stuff, and I said this yesterday, feels like look at me. Right?
Well, one of their backup quarterbacks said the very first thing he said to him when he got there was look into September 11th.
Yeah. I mean, that's weird. Somehow this, I don't know, this just, this one specifically got me.
Yes.
And yeah, you're right. The September 11th one is probably just as bad. I don't know why it didn't necessarily connect for me at the time the way this one did. But, you know, to me, this kind of has always had the feel, like all things with Aaron Rodgers, of just like, hey, look at me. Make sure I'm in the news, just like Brett Favre, right? In a different way, but sort of the same ultimate goal of make sure they're talking about you all the time, no matter what. And if they're not talking about you, feed them something to make them talk about you. And when, you know, I saw the Robert Kennedy news, he's thinking about adding Aaron Rodgers on his ticket to run for VP, which is just hysterically funny in its own right. You say, oh, all right, that's just Aaron Rodgers leaking or getting somebody to leak some garbage so that his name can be in the papers, which is cool. Sort of. I mean, not actually, but it's certainly not like, you know, criminal or anything.
Uh-huh.
But the problem is when you enter that landscape, you're going to attract the attention of an entirely different group of people that are reporting and digging up information on, you know, in a very different manner than a couple of sports writers hanging out in Green Bay. And when you do, you're going to get reports that actually dig into your past. And in this case, they didn't need to dig very far because he told it to the freaking reporter. This wasn't like she went and found five sources. She was just like, oh, yeah, I'm the source and I have others. He told it to me at a party when he met me. He berated me for being in the media and then started spouting off Alex Jones level conspiracy theories about actors being paid to work at Sandy Hook that he claims never happened. It's the most disgusting thing I can think of. Aaron Rodgers, you're disgusting. You're disgusting. You went from being sort of a funny lark, sort of a funny, oh, okay, this is cute. He always wants attention and he's got some kind of quackshot ideas to you're a disgusting human being to peddle something like that. To the parents who lost their children in that tragedy, the most unimaginable thing. As the parent, and he doesn't have kids, does he?
No.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't know how a single parent could say anything like that. To peddle a conspiracy theory about Sandy Hook that it never happened and the people were actors? Something that's been disproven both in and out of court about 1,000 times? You're disgusting. You disust me. I am seriously considering a ban on your name on the show. Don't mention him ever again after this day. I don't care if he's playing the Seahawks. I don't care if he runs for president. I don't think maybe we should ever say the man's name again. That's going to be my conspiracy. Oh, no, I don't think Aaron Rodgers exists. I think he's not a real person.
I don't think he plays football.
I make up conspiracy theories, too. Aaron Rodgers, nah, not a real person. Doesn't really exist. Don't know who he is. Never heard of him. Sure, surely you've heard of Aaron Rodgers, Mike. Nope. He's the starting quarterback for the Jets. The who? Yeah, never heard of him. Don't know who he is. Never going to say his name again.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, the Seahawks continue to get on the board. A couple more free agents agreed to come here. Safety Rayshon Jenkins is probably the biggest name among them. He comes up from Jacksonville.
Rayshon Jenkins took several visits this week and is landing with the Seattle Seahawks. This is a really important signing. When you remember, they got a new head coach, Mike McDonald, who is installing his system as he replaces Pete Carroll. The Seahawks had released Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs before the start of free agency here. They wanted to get another veteran on the back end. And Rayshon Jenkins was a surprise cut by the Jacksonville Jaguars here within the past week or so. He now lands quickly in Seattle.
Yeah, so there you go. Pretty impressive safety. The Athletic had him ranked ahead of Quandre Diggs in their free agent rankings, and obviously they get him for a lot less money. Much more team-friendly. $12 million total over 2 years. That's a whole lot closer to what Julian Love is making than what Quandre or Jamal was making, and a whole lot closer to what you should be paying for safeties in the market. So good stuff there. Last week, Brady Henderson, you may remember, told us that if you're going to go with Abe Lucas at right tackle, you better have a high-quality swing tackle behind him, and that's exactly what they signed yesterday. An old friend, George Fant. I love George Fant. Always one of my favorite Seahawks when he was here. Sounds like he loved it when he was here as well. What did he tweet yesterday? Just one word, home. Pretty awesome. Love to have that guy back. He's truly a good dude and I think a pretty good player. We'll see if he still has it. Should fit the bill as a backup tackle. And so, they've got four new players on the team. Three of them are backups. One of them is a starter, right? Jenkins will be a starter, you would assume, at safety. And then three backups, and they should get run. Farrell Brown, Fant, and then Nick Harris being the last of the group. Bobby Wagner is out of here. That we already knew was going to happen, but became official yesterday as he reunites with Dan Quinn in Washington. One-year deal worth a max value of $8.5 million. Six of it are guaranteed. Congratulations to Bobby. And I'm sure we'll discuss him in a little bit more detail at some point. The Seahawks, a little bit of a head-scratcher. Re-signed Darrell Taylor? I was surprised at that. Mora sent that over. I'd like to know more of the details on that and whether they can get out of it at some point. They also tendered qualifying offers to restricted free agents Michael Jackson and John Rattigan, and a fifth round tender on Jackson, a right of first refusal tender on Rattigan.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Blowout win for the Mariners yesterday. That's nice to see for a change. They put out a very strong lineup against a similar group of Dodgers regulars and faced new pitcher Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Wasn't great the first time through the order. The second time, a whole lot better.
Stretch on the pitch to Garber, swinging a line drive down the left field line, in there for a base hit all the way to the wall. Crawford will score. Julio running third. He'll score. Garber in at second base with a two-run double. It's the Mariners 4 and the Dodgers 1. Mitch Garber's second hit of the afternoon. He now has 9 RBIs for the spring.
Yeah, he's just been on a tear for the Mariners. Ty France had a nice two-run single yesterday as well. Good to see. And then I liked seeing this in the box score, so I wanted to make sure I played it for you. This is later in the game, once some of the regulars were out. Three names you hope to hear in the future, all involved in one play.
Swung on, roped, right field line. That's down. It's going to the wall. Screaming around third base, Emerson. He's going to score. Pete is right behind him. He is flying. Pete around third. Helmet off. He's going to score. Montes into third. Head first slide. A triple as he claps his hands together. A 2 RBI triple for the big man. And the Mariners add a couple more. It's 7-1, M's.
Yeah, so that's Laz Montes, who's the big dude, who's the little outfielder, probably going to be a DH eventually. And you heard running around the bases, Colt Emerson and Ty Pete, a couple of first-round picks from last year. So fun to see those guys out there doing their thing. Only blemish really yesterday was Andres Munoz gave up a run in his one inning of work, but nice days for the both of the lefties, both Spear Spire, rather, and Sacedo had pretty good days. Good news on Brian Wu. He was only pushed back a day. He's okay. Should be ready to start this afternoon. And a big trade in baseball yesterday, just to keep you appraised. Padres acquired Dylan Cease from the White Sox for a bunch of prospects.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, UW did lose, as expected, yesterday. 80-74 in the first round of the Pac-12 tournament. Mike Hopkins, well, that will be his last game. He said goodbye afterwards.
Places make places. Great people make great places. And we have great people. And the program, the athletic program that Jen Cohen helped build, the culture, the coaches all backing each other. Really, really special to be a part of that. She gave me a chance. Wish I had some more wins and losses, or more wins, less losses. But I'm really proud of getting through COVID, getting kids, helping kids graduate, making a difference in their lives. That's what it's really about in college athletics. I'm emotional. Didn't want to cry, but this is who I am.
Yeah, unfortunately for Mike Hopkins, it didn't go well at UW. I will say, having met him and played a round of golf with him last year, I really enjoyed him. I really like him as a human being. I've actually met him a couple of times, and each time came away very impressed by who he is. It obviously didn't translate out on the court for the Huskies, but good guy, and I certainly wish the best for him moving forward. Cougs going to play their first game of the Pac-12 tournament tonight, 6 o'clock. They will take on Stanford. That's everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show. Bunch of text messages coming in on the Aaron Rodgers thing. One says it's over 10 years old. Okay. Yeah, he did say that a while ago. Yes, I didn't say it was he said it yesterday. Yeah, the report came out yesterday that he said it a while ago. Yeah, sure, that's valuable. And then
doesn't
a bunch
make
of people
it less
saying
despicable.
Right, and a bunch of people saying, "Hey, Mike, stop talking about politics." I'm just going to be pretty clear with you guys. This is not politics. This is right and wrong. Politics is who should win, who should be the president, who should be your congressperson. How do you feel about issues like abortion or taxation or border security? Those are all political issues that we're not going to talk about here. 100% agree with you. This is not Democrat and Republican. This is not politics. This is a guy spreading conspiracy theories about people who lost their children in a shooting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only part that made it politics was the fact that he's now potentially going to be entering them. That
and
was
it's,
the
he's Aaron Rodgers. Right. He's still the quarterback of the New York Jets.
That's why, but that's also why, to your point at the beginning, why this is now a story is because of that. You have other people who are going to now be doing some.
That's right.
Looking back into the past.
So I'm sorry if that offends you. I'm sorry if that's not what you're looking to hear. Aaron Rodgers is a sports figure who has done something that, in my view, is despicable. And I'm going to keep saying so. Well, actually, I probably won't, because at some point I'm going to stop talking about him and not let his name ever appear on this show again. And if Brock asks me about him, I'm just going to go, "I don't know who you're talking about," and move it along. So that's kind of where we're at on that. All right. Coming up next. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited for this. I'm so excited. Yeah. All right. If you guys missed Gus Johnson yesterday, you missed out. It was a wild ride from start to finish. His greatest calls, why he loves Seattle, why he called Seattle baby girl in a specific message to the city itself. Some thoughts on Caitlin Clark, some thoughts on J.J. McCarthy that you definitely want to hear. Stick around. This whole thing is a wild ride next on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Weekdays 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Brock says to me yesterday, "Gus Johnson's going to come on the show." And I say, "Awesome." And he says, "Make sure we have a little, you know, some of the great Gus Johnson clips of all time." And obviously we immediately thought of Isaiah's Cold-Blooded and some of his other greats. But when I think Gus Johnson, for some reason, other than the Isaiah clip, this is the one I always think of. That incredible game. I had to look it up. It was 2010. So that does make me feel a little old. I was
Crawford
not.
Crawford's got to hurry up.
One of the great games I've ever watched, made that much greater by the voice you heard right there, Gus Johnson. He joins us right now from Fox Sports Now. Gus, good morning. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Hey, good morning, guys. Always fun to have a chance to talk to some people from one of my favorite places in the whole wide world, Seattle. Man, as a matter of fact, when I used to do a lot of games out in Seattle, I bought some art from an artist, a local artist. And I have a picture of the public market. It's a picture of Mount Rainier, downtown Seattle, the Space Needle. I'm looking at it right now.
Wow.
It's right over my bed.
That's pretty awesome.
Positive. I'll send you guys a picture. Yeah.
Did you, could you hear that cut I was just playing? Do you even remember what game that was?
That was Kansas State, right?
Darn
Kansas
right.
State and Xavier.
Darn right it was.
Yeah, that was great. On the corner of John Stockton and Carl Malone Drive, you know, down in Salt Lake. That was a good day, man. I'll never forget that.
How about that cold-blooded one? Do you remember that one? Because that was just, I don't know how many years ago to yesterday. Yeah, yeah. Where did...
That was my favorite. That's my favorite of all time.
Your favorite moment personally. Or your favorite call?
Favorite call. Of all time for me, you know, just for me, there's nothing like that one. I mean, I've never called a game that I remember when a person hit a shot or made a touchdown or something to win the game for a championship. Mm-hmm. That was unbelievable. That little guy, he's so tough, man. Oh man. Isaiah Thomas is like young Zeke.
Okay,
that was my favorite. We'll play it.
We'll play it in just a second.
Yeah, I every time I hear it, I'm struck by one thing. Seriously, I don't mean to just bring you on here to just, you know, tout how great you are for a half hour. We're going to ask you some very tough questions before this interview is done. I promise.
Oh, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me.
Won't. No, of course not. But my favorite thing about this call, I've probably listened to this call, I don't know how many hundreds of times Brock and I have played this call on the show. I'm right there with you. It's one of my favorite calls of anything, any play-by-play announcer's ever had. I just love it. And listening to it again, what I'm always struck by is the rhythm of it, that it almost sounds like a song, the way you're calling it and the way you kind of set it all up. I'm going to play it one more time.
And we're tied 75 again. Shot clock turned off. Game clock at 8. He's going to do it himself. Thomas, shake, crossover, step back. At the buzzer, Young, safe, and Washington wins it. On a last second, Jay Cole-blooded.
It's almost musical, Gus.
Well, you know, they say the soul, if you pay attention, has the ability to have rhythm and harmony when you get it into that musical mode and when you're connected. And I think that, you know, when I hear stuff like that, man, I just I shake my head and I thank God. I have so much gratitude to the good Lord to have allowed me to do this for a living and to be around the people that I've been around and the young people, like Isaiah Thomas back then, and who went on to do so many great things with his life as a professional. I tell you, it really pulls at my heart to hear that, to know that I was a part of that part of that history. So do they still play that? Is that call ever talked about in Seattle very often?
Gus, just,
you know?
Gus. Yeah. On this show, that call is probably played still 3 times a year?
At least.
And we probably come up with, I mean, certainly tournament time.
And too bad they've been irrelevant,
right.
Unfortunately.
If the Huskies had been better for the last few years, I think we'd play it more.
Yes.
We play that cut all the time.
Yeah.
There are only really a couple.
How many years ago was that?
That was 2011. I just looked it up.
13 years ago yesterday.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty amazing.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
13 years ago. That's something. Yeah, man. Getting old, bro. Thank goodness.
He is Gus Johnson. You know the voice. We could talk about that play for a half an hour. And in fact, I did a little broadcast class for my kids' high school. They had a little Jan term, and I played that. And we talked about your call versus Bob Rondo, who's tremendous, right? Bob esteemed up here, was an absolute gift for the Huskies. And it's fun to compare and contrast and everything else. So, Gus, yeah, that one lives on for a long, long time.
Awesome.
So let's bring you to today, because we originally wanted to talk to you because Brock's gotten himself very smitten with J.J. McCarthy as we're trying to figure out what the Seahawks are going to do in the draft.
As well you should.
Okay, so why should we all be so smitten with J.J.? Why J.J.?
Okay, so excuse me for not knowing all the particulars of Seattle, my favorite city. Where do you guys pick?
16. So they're not going to get him at 16, no. But Brock wants them to trade up and get JJ.
Yeah, do what you got to do.
I think that under all circumstances, no matter what, you should trade up and get this kid. Because there's something different about this kid. There's something very special about this kid. This kid has the kind of, we'll start with the stuff that we're all familiar with, the leadership qualities. His teammates love him because he loves his teammates. He has a goodness in him that is apparent as soon as you lay eyes on him, as soon as you stand next to him, a kindness, a consideration, a gratitude, a thought for others. He wants to be a man for others. He continues to seek knowledge and to seek wisdom. And we know that once we seek knowledge and wisdom, we get to truth. And once we get those three, we potentially can get to the good, which is the universal author of all things beautiful and right. So I think that J.J. McCarthy, if I had a chance to draft him, I would do everything to get him because he is going to fit with Coach McDonald. First of all, what a brilliant move to hire Mike McDonald. I'm telling you, man, you know, this young man, what I love, especially coming off a man like Pete Carroll. Because the thing that you know about Pete Carroll more than any of his coaching accolades, as the Spartans would say when they would want to compliment someone, they would say, he is a divine man. Pete Carroll is a divine man. He's a good man, a kind man, all the things that you want. And to get a man like Mike McDonald in his youth with the knowledge that he's gained, the wisdom that he's been taught through some of the mentors that he's worked with, Jim and John in particular, you're going to have a man with no ego. Yes, he's a head coach. He's going to be aware of everything, and he's going to be competitive, and he's going to, you know, want to win games. But more than anything, he's going to want to make his players better. So I think if you draft a guy like J.J. McCarthy and you pair two men like that, they will be a cure for insomnia, meaning when those two men are in the building, people are going to be able to sleep at night that work there. Fans are going to be able to rest at night knowing that they have a great leadership group along with John, he's been brilliant in the way he's run this organization. And not only, you know, running the organization, but the way he runs the organization. When I go to Seattle, the people there are with the Seahawks are so kind. And I can't undervalue that. I just really want you to understand that. The people of Seattle in particular, so kind. So I think J.J. McCarthy, he hasn't even begun to scratch the surface of who he's going to be as a quarterback in the NFL. If he would have played for Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, USC, he would have thrown for a gazillion billion yards. He would have thrown it 54 times a game, and he would have won the Heisman Trophy. But instead, he won the national championship because he suppressed his ego and bought into the concept of team. And I think that with that kind of education, with that kind of knowledge moving forward, he's the kind of person that you want, that you got to get. Because just like Russell Wilson was when you guys drafted him, when Russell Wilson established himself as the starting quarterback in Seattle, you guys had over a decade of peace and success. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that Russell Wilson is going to have that again. I think that Sean Payton was misinformed. I really do. And I like Sean. Sean and I have had conversations, but I think he's misinformed. He doesn't really understand, you know, all this stuff about Russell Wilson not being true and being fake. I think is some of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. I've known this young man since he was a kid in college.
And I think going to play for an African-American coach, Mike Tomlin, I think a man like Sean Payton is going to learn something that he valuably needs to know.
You know what I need, what I've learned?
So,
Gus, I think you need to move to Seattle. That's what I think I've learned. Yep.
I tell you, then if I could, I would.
We got a regular guest spot.
I tell you, every time
I
go to Seattle, I feel like, I mean, I know Kevin Calabro is like an idol of mine, to be honest with you.
He's pretty awesome.
He's an idol.
I mean, he's an idol of ours.
Any job.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if there was any job that I would like to have aside from the Knicks, it would be the Sonics.
They're coming back. So
we get to get the Sonics name back too, right?
Obviously, it has to go down that way. Hey, can I follow up on what you just said? I think that's an interesting point about Russ. I hadn't even really considered it. Russ playing for an African-American coach for the first time and what that means and what are you trying to get at there with Sean Payton and the move from Sean Payton to Mike Tomlin?
Because what happens is, you know, Sean, and I think he went a little too far. I think people have been going a little too far questioning this man's character. What has he done wrong? You know, but I think what he does wrong is nowadays in America, he goes against the stereotype of black men, you know, tattoos and dreads and pants hanging off your butt and all these kinds of things. And that's not Russell Wilson. So in a way, it seems like he comes across as being corny or inauthentic. And this is true opinion, not false opinion. And I think that playing for a man that's going to see him through his own pathway, his own experience, coming from similar historical experiences, is going to be different for Russell. And it's going to be different for Mike Tomlin, because I don't know how many black quarterbacks Mike Tomlin has had, but this is going to be the biggest one. So it's going to be a very interesting thing to watch, especially when you consider that the Steelers have a team that is built to need one person and one person only to be even more successful. And that's a quarterback. Hmm. Mason Graham is a good player. Kenny Pickett, developing player, good player, but they're not a Super Bowl champion like a Russell Wilson. Mm. So I think that's going to be an interesting dynamic to look at as the season progresses this year in Pittsburgh.
Gus, I know you got the Big East tourney this week. You got to get ready to go. You got to get those vocal cords.
Man, so you wanted to talk about Caitlin Clark.
Yes, I do.
That's why we're here.
This will be the finale right here because, you know, I'm a girl dad.
I mean, I'm not in a rush. I'm sitting here waiting for you guys.
We got 10 minutes. My daughters are in fourth and sixth grade, and they are obsessed with Caitlin Clark. What does she mean to the future of the sports landscape?
What does Caitlin Clark mean? Caitlin Clark to me is what J.J. McCarthy is, a good person, mm-hmm. a kind, considerate, unselfish person with the weight of the world on her shoulders, the whole world watching her every move, judging her every word, and what she has done on the basketball court, being able to kind of transcend, taking that style that we have seen from Steph Curry and bringing it to the women's game, that kind of excitement, the awe that you feel when she walks on the court. I mean, watching her on TV is one thing, guys, but watching her live is a whole different animal.
Why?
You just say to yourself, wow, because she's, like I said, pulling up from the logo. She's beating people off the dribble like she's got an and-one Rucker League handle. And she's been up in Harlem balling with the boys up there. I mean, she's just a tiger, and she understands all 12 positions on the court. The five that she plays with, including herself, the five that she plays against, and also the two coaches. She knows it, everything. So she's playing chess at all times on that floor, and it is fun. It is exciting, and it's very, very cerebral to watch her play basketball. And I just, to me, having a chance to go call four women's games this year, it was unbelievable. To me, as a individual, it gave me some balance because we don't focus, I think, enough on our women and how our women play sports and how our women play games and how important it is to just have that balance of their games and our games, their sports and our sports, and to go down there and just be around that kind of energy and those kind of, and the people and the appreciation that they have for us, just acknowledging their sport, I thought was, you know, I felt ashamed in a way because I should have been doing it a long time ago because I used to do it a long time ago. Voice of the New York Liberty for 10 years, used to call Tennessee, Connecticut every year with Gino and Coach Summit. So just getting back down there and being a part of that and watching her literally, she is a virtuoso at what she does in basketball. And we're going to see something like this again. We're seeing it now, especially the people out in the Pac-12, Juju Watkins.
Yep.
Same thing.
Yep.
I hope you had a chance to watch that record Caitlin broke the other day, because Juju, if she stays, she's going to break it. She's averaging 28 as a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just I think we got a chance to go into a golden age of women's sports, especially basketball. And I think the United States women's national team in soccer really helped usher all this in. Watching them win gold medals and World Cups over the last decade. And Caitlin is going to bring eyeballs to the WNBA. And now we're going to have a Caitlin Clark joined by Angel Reese from LSU, joined by eventually Hannah Hidalgo from Notre Dame, joined by Juju Watkins down the road from USC, joined by the young lady that just, I think, declared yesterday or today from Stanford.
Mm-hmm. Cameron Brink.
Yeah, along with the players that are already there in the league. So they're going to bring all those eyeballs, and that's millions of people. The game I did, her final regular season home game, to break the record, at one particular time, 4.2 million people were watching that game.
Awesome.
It averaged 3.4 million people. The most watched regular season women's game since 1999. And in 99, that was Tennessee and UConn.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. And you're right, it is happening throughout sports. I mean, we're watching Rose Zhang as she went from Stanford to the LPGA Tour this year and won in her first event. And yeah, it's a pretty cool story. Gus, before we let you go, I gotta ask you about it. Because we talked to Joel Klatt, and Joel told us that what we really need to know about is Scotty. That Scotty is part of the secret sauce for everybody who loves Gus Johnson, for everybody who loves your big calls, for everybody who loves when you get hyped up, that what we really need to know is that Scotty deserves some of that credit. Who is Scotty, and what does he do for you?
Well, you know what? Joel Klatt, I'm going to punch him in the mouth next time I see him because he's giving away my secrets. You know,
well, don't tell him I said that. He's already mad at me. Don't tell him I said this.
Yeah, I'm going to be mad at him. So don't worry. I'll get him back for you. Scott Duthart is my best friend. We've known each other all our lives, going all the way back to growing up in Detroit. He's 4 years younger than me. But he's an artist. He's a rapper who goes by the name of Ichabod, IKKA-BOD.
Okay.
So we did some ventures down in the past, some videos, and a couple of nice hot songs with the Mash Out Posse, MOP, and Scott is my spotter as well. So what happens with Scott and I is we'll sit down usually over the years the night before the game, and we'll just talk about the game and talk about the players and come up with themes and situations, and you know, sometimes just listening to, because he's an artist, he's a writer, so sometimes the way he sees things helps me get, as you talked about, I thought that was very insightful, helps me get that rhythm you're talking about.
Yeah.
And the reason that you can get the rhythm is because when you know certain information and then you practice knowing that information, and you then you become not only fluid at it, but you become fluent with this information in terms of your speech, your dialectic, then all of a sudden, bam, you get that musical mold, that melody, that rhythm in your speech. And what we do, Scott and I do, is we go over those themes. We come up with nicknames. I remember the night before Ohio State played Maryland one year, and we were sitting around in the room talking, watching something on TV. I don't know what we were watching, but we're talking about the game. And Scott said something like, I tell you, that Ohio State defense, boy, they've been playing like they're hungry. I said, you think so? He said, yeah, man. I mean, these guys, when you get hungry, it's like, hey, if you got barbecue there and don't invite me, you might hurt my feelings. I was like, whoa. I said, whoa. I said, what'd you say, man? He said, yeah, man, it's like going to a party. You go to a party. I mean, no, you walking down the street in your neighborhood, guys, and, you know, you smell a barbecue back there? Somebody having a barbecue and they didn't invite you? So you hear the music, you know they drinking, you know there are girls back there, and you know they having fun, and they didn't invite you to the barbecue? Man, that would hurt your feelings. Next time you see them, you're going to do something bad to them. So that's how that came up that night.
I just going to say this. We got to run. We know you got to go. And when I come back in a second life, I'd like to come back as Gus Johnson. If somebody could make that happen, I would like to come back as you. It seems like a wonderful life. We really appreciate you taking the time with us this morning. Thank you. Continued good luck. And we'll talk again, hopefully.
Thank you, Gus.
Thank you, guys. Thank you guys for having me. And can I just say one thing? Baby girl, Seattle. I miss you, baby, and I'm going to get back to see you as soon as I can.
We will welcome you with open arms, Gus. You got a home here anytime you want. There's Gus Johnson of Fox Sports. That's about as good as it gets right there, man. Yeah, years ago, we used to play Hey Man whenever somebody would call up the show, but maybe now we need to just start calling everybody Baby Girl, regardless. So if you call the show, we're going to give you a Baby Girl for anybody who calls in, because that was, as I said, a wild ride with Gus Johnson yesterday. All right, Brock's in the building. We got to discuss the Seahawks' big moves yesterday, or whatever you would call them. They did finally sign a starter, and I'm kind of curious about what you make of them. That's next on Brock and Salk.